It's mid-morning, immediately after the close of our last episode, when in Dr. Howard Doyle's animal hospital, the doctor told Perry Mason definitely and positively he can give no information as to the disappearance of Suzanne Barclay. Now, as the doctor starts to turn away...
Sorry, I can't help you, Mr. Mason, but that's the way it is. You folks can find your way out, huh?
Just a moment, Dr. Doyle.
Well, I gave you a moment.
But we haven't finished.
Now, see here, Mr. Mason, possibly you don't know much about sick animals.
No, I don't, but I would like to point out that you don't know much about tracing missing persons.
Well, never said I did. All right, you pointed it out. What's your point?
It is possible that you do have information without knowing it.
Well, that could be. He hates to give up, don't he?
Yes, he does, sir.
We'll step inside to my office.
All right.
Just across the hall. Go right in.
Do you mind if I close this door, Doctor?
Well, go ahead. Now, young lady, claims you're a secretary.
Yes, I am.
You got a notebook?
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah, then you sit right here and write down what I say. I'm going to tell you everything I know, young fella. For all the good it'll do you. You all ready?
Yes, sir.
Now, tell me if I talk too fast. Well, let's see. Suzanne Barclay brought her dog here to the hospital about 10 o'clock, night of October 28th. Now, she told me she wanted to leave her dog here for a long time, indefinitely.
Did she give you any indication where she was going?
Nope. And I asked her. She said she was going to take a trip.
You say you noticed she was frightened.
I'm coming to that.
Did she do anything or say anything?
Nope. I watched her dog.
What?
Her dog had been here plenty of times. It recognized me and it never acted frightened before. The night she brought it here, her dog was scared. Animals are sensitive. That dog knew Suzanne was frightened, even though she hid it from me at first. As soon as I caught on, I asked her if she wanted to talk to me. She said no. I asked her if she was all right, and she said yes. She wasn't, but that's what she said. Now, that's all I can tell you, Mr. Mason. You know everything I know.
Doctor, you are certain she didn't say anything else.
Oh, she may have said thanks when I offered to call a doctor for her. Seriously, Mr. Mason, that's a very pertinent thing. As a matter of fact, we talked about Smithville while I walked to the door with her.
What?
Now, don't go jumping to conclusions, Mr. Mason. I happened to mention I was taking a trip myself the next day, going to Smithville, and we talked about it.
Oh?
Just a second, miss. That doesn't mean a thing, because the fact is, she said she wasn't going to Smithville.
Doctor, I want to know everything that you and she said.
Now?
Now. Everything you remember. And do it quickly before you have time to think about it. Just start in where you mentioned Smithville.
Well, her dog was in the kennel, and she was ready to go. I walked out to the front door. Now, let me see. Oh, yes, I said... All right, Suzanne, we'll take good care of him.
I know you will, Dr. Doyle. Well,
what about you, my dear?
Sir?
Tell an old man what's troubling you.
What? Nothing. I hurt my hand, but there's nothing wrong.
You sure you won't tell me?
No, sir.
Well, you get that hand looked after the first thing.
Oh, I will.
And if there's anything I can do...
There isn't. But I thank you for wanting to help.
So, you're going on a trip, eh?
Yes, sir.
Well, you haven't told me where you're going.
No, sir.
All right, I can take a hint. I'm going on a trip myself. Same one I take every week, going up to Smithville.
Oh? What did you say, Dr. Doyle?
I said I'm going to Smithville.
Where's that?
Oh, 100 miles upstate. Little town upstate, college town.
Smithville?
Never heard of it? Well, I got a veterinary college there. I lecture. Got a good mind to go up there and stay there.
Why? Is it nice?
Oh, real quiet. Pretty good-sized town, but quiet. Kind of lost out there in the country.
Kind of lost in the country.
That sounds dull to you, I know. But some people like a quiet place.
Yes.
No, don't tell me you'd go to a place like that.
Me? Oh, I should say not. I'm going where there's lots of people and excitement. I would think of going to Smithville.
Got your car or want me to call you a taxi?
Oh, I'll get a taxi on the corner. Well, goodbye, Dr. Doyle.
Goodbye, Suzanne. You sure you don't want to talk to me?
No, sir. But thank you, Doctor. Thanks for everything.
Oh, what's she thanking me for? She didn't let me help her.
But, Doctor, you did help her.
Think she went to Smithville, eh? Now I see your point. And I think you're right.
Oh, Perry.
It's only a chance, Della, but it's the first lead we've had. May I use your phone?
Well, help yourself.
Meanwhile, in a different part of the city, Gus, whose real name is August Jansen, enters a beautifully furnished suite of offices.
Hello, August.
Morning, J.T. Hey, what a layout, J.T. And your secretary.
These are our financial offices. Here's where I put the big fellow's money to work. We need big offices because he's got a lot of money. Well, I can give you only a moment, August.
Busy day?
I have an appointment at my doctor's this afternoon, and I'm expecting a phone call from the big fella.
You going to the doctor? Well, you never look better.
My doctor is a specialist in reducing diets.
Oh.
How are you feeling, August?
Never better, J.T.
And Miss Beekman?
Perfect. I took her home last night, and I'm picking her up this afternoon. I just spoke to her on the phone.
Don't move too fast.
I can handle her.
So, what's on your mind?
Well, Beekman's only a kid, but she's no dummy. So far, I've kept her amused, kept her mind occupied. But pretty soon, she's going to wonder where I come from, where I get my dough, how I could help finance a big nightclub. I need a base of operations, a front.
Yeah, that's a good thought. I'll take it up with the big fella. Anything else?
That's all.
What about Suzanne Barkley?
I've got men looking for her, but take it from me, J.T. Suzanne knocked herself off.
I hope you're right. The big fellow's concerned. In fact, he didn't want you to handle Beekman.
You have to talk him into it?
August, the big fellow is boss. I don't talk him into anything. He decided to let you go ahead for now, but we're watching you. Yes? Oh, yes, sir. Just a moment, please. It's the big fella. Get out of here. Now, I was in conference with August, sir. He's just leaving. Now, close the door, August. All right, big fella, he's gone. What's that? Why, since you want to know, I'm letting August handle Kate Beekman. What'd you say? Yes, I remember Suzanne Barkley. And I suggest you remember who you are, big fella. Shut up. I'm talking to you. You signed those property deeds I sent over? Why not? Oh, you've been busy, have you? That's understandable, big fella. Naturally, the big fella has many things to do, many demands on his time. But take time to do what I tell you, big fella. Or shall I come to see you personally? Yeah, that's fine, big fella. Thank you so much. Thank you so very, very much. Yeah. Goodbye, big fella.
As you know, J.T. is the real big fellow. You also know J.T. has a brilliant criminal brain. But even the most brilliant crooks make mistakes. For example, J.T.'s mistake was when he accepted Gus Jansen's reassurance Suzanne Barkley cannot be found. Perry Mason's On the Trail. You'll join us tomorrow, won't you?